Gotta admit that I prepared a lot of slides, but was sitting there and there was a discussion about like how the apps can help in Isaac, and you guys has basically stole all of my talking points. So I'm gonna be trying to focus on the things that actually weren't covered. And okay, so I was probably going to start with the first part, which was going to convince you why Isaac is relevant in Open RAN. We have discussed this for the last several hours, so I'm not going to try to convince you of that by this time you're convinced. But the part that I want to discuss is probably the last item in this this slide, which is how can the Open architecture help in the Isaac ecosystem. And of course, there has been a lot of discussion in what is Open RAN and how XApps and their apps provide the value and how the apps can actually help in that field. But if you look at Isaac, I will say that there are several challenges that needs to be solved. There are probably more than what you find in this slide, where we have identified five specifically. One, the first one, which is something related to what we have discussed previously, is we need to have real-time access to physical layer and MAC layer data. There is no Isaac unless we get access to this data. So this is kind of like a given. And how to retrieve that is, of course, a challenge. There are several challenges that have been mentioned. Can we retrieve IQ samples? Do we have the bandwidth to do that? How many IQ samples? How frequently we do that? And so on. We also need AI pipelines that are specifically tailored for Isaac. I will say that if you look at, for example, computer vision in general and the AI for computer vision, you look at pictures, you can define if it's a panda, it's like a dog or a cat fairly easily. But if you look at Isaac, if you look at what people do, most of the cases where Isaac is demonstrated, for example, for detecting humans and where they are in a room, those Isaac AI models only work in that specific room, in that specific deployment. This is fine for research demonstration, but when you start thinking about there is an operator that needs to deploy this in New York, in Europe, in Australia, in Japan, everywhere, you need AI models that are general. How do we define those? The other challenge is that if you want to do Isaac in real time, and this is something connected to what we someone mentioned before, you also need to have IDEs that are specifically designed to at least support Isaac with certain capabilities, which can be, for example, providing higher resolution IQ samples, or maybe having Isaac embedded for beam steering and beam detection and so on. Another challenge is related to the algorithms that are required for lifecycle management. So if you have a very large network, you don't need to sense at all times. So you want to make sure that maybe you need a dApp or you need Isaac active in certain times. Then at times you don't need that because everyone is left the financial district at his home. So you don't need Isaac. So you need that lifecycle manager to make sure that the dApp or whatever container is implementing Isaac is not consuming your energy. And finally, you need to have stacks that are reconfigurable, which is pretty much like what Open RAN gives you. Gives you stacks that are configurable through open interfaces, which can be the E2, the O1, and so on. The other part that I want to mention is that what is kind of like missing today, there are research items, of course, that address this, but if you look at what Open provides is, and what is missing is interaction with the user plane. For example, accessing IQ samples, accessing packets of the users. You can access those through the Open front door, but they're not exposed in general openly with APIs. And the other part is that there is no real-time control plane yet in the specifications. For example, dApps are part of research items. There are two reports, as we will see, but they're not part of the standard. So it's something that is missing. And we hope that with kind of like going forward toward Isaac, dApps can actually help in that context. And this is what we see the value of dApps in terms of Isaac. So dApps, as we have seen, are applications that they run at the DU directly. And what they can do is they can extract data directly from the stack. They can expose it. They can do a monostatic, bistatic, multistatic, ranging, spectrum sensing. They can either do computation on board, or they can also take the data and just like process it and perform inference. They can take data, extract information and feed it to XApps and their apps. For example, you can do user detection. Once you detect the user, you can say, okay, it's moving at this speed. You can use that information to maybe inform on a app that is doing handover management. And that's where dApps can help in that specific context. And if we look at the where dApps stand for, at the moment, we have actively cooperated in the NGRG group. There are two reports that have been published. First one was on use cases, and Isaac was already recognized as one of the use cases where dApps can actually provide value. But there are others like applications, beam management, energy efficiency, real-time scheduling, different things you can do. But I will say probably that the Isaac was the most intuitive one. And then we had another research report that was put out specifically on the architecture. And you have seen, like in my colleague from Redis, is actually that it was showing exactly this graph. That's where the E3 interface is coming from. It's something that of course, it's not in the standard. We propose that as a way to kind of like see how the apps can work in practice. We provide a prototype, open source that. People have been using it as a reference architecture. So we are happy to see that people are actually looking into this as a possible way to bring Isaac to life. Those are two different research reports. You can see there are 16 contributors, more than 7 reviewers, and different members in RS02 that have contributed to this. And so it's an effort. It's not just us as Northeastern University, but it's kind of like a collaborative effort, and we like that people are kind of like happy to contribute to it. And this is like a brief history of the apps and their evolution. I think that the first paper, we published it in 2022. We actually work on this much before, but that's where we published the paper. And then from that, we moved into, let's see if the Oran Alliance is happy to see that developed inside the Oran Alliance. And NGRG was probably the best, ecosystem to develop the idea. And then from there, we publish the research reports, and then we come up with a prototype, we open source that. And now today, we have seen the apps mentioned by several members of the Oran Alliance today. At MWC, for example, Parallel Wireless had in the booth use cases and examples of the apps already implemented. NVIDIA adopted the apps and open source that within the NVIDIA Aerial stack. And we have seen, for example, Redis and adopting that as well. So it's something that it's growing by the day. So we are very happy to see that. We didn't definitely expect that in the first place. And just a clarification, someone mentioned that the apps are an E3 interface are proprietary. They're not. It's actually an open source contribution. The code is open. It's available to the public. You can go to GitHub, download it. There are tutorials. It's adoptable pretty much by anyone that wants to use it. There is no proprietary information on that. And it's actually an architecture we have just proposed. We are not. It's something that can be changed and in standardization, but it's just there. And the goal is to provide people that are willing to demonstrate Isaac capabilities, give them a software platform that works, that can be used for prototyping, demonstrating solutions, and later on, of course, the standard can implement different flavors of that. But the goal with dApps and the open sourcing was to allow the community to have a tool openly available to demonstrate different capabilities. And there are different ways you can get the code. You can go on Open Run Gym website and download it from there. There are tutorials. You can go to GitHub, you download that. There is an NPM package. It's also included in the NVIDIA Aerial stack. So you can download it on and use it using different mediums. And as I mentioned, they are real. they are not just something that, you know, it's like a Bayesian simulation, but it's actually up and running. We have a private 5G network at Northeastern that is fully managed by us. It's up and running 24/7. It has with both CPU and GPU accelerated nodes. It supports both the Okudu stack. We have a preliminary version. We hope to open source that as well later soon. It's already supported both Open Interface, Okudu. We have GPU-based implementation, CPU-based implementations. We have demonstrated several use cases, and it's already integrated with the larger, let's say, Open RAN architecture. You have, for example, integration with the SMO. We actually have loops where we use the dApps for sensing. We sense the spectrum. We collect information about who's transmitting. We send that to X apps. We forward that to R apps. You can even transition in between frequencies. And I'll show you an example soon in the with a video in the next few slides. But what I want to say is that it's a prototyping platform that you can use for demonstrating use cases. Even in the AI Run Alliance, a lot of people actually are focusing on the AI models. They don't have a platform for demonstrating that in real time and over the air, and they use the apps and work with us to do that. That's, for example, what you've seen a lot of MWC demos last year. Something that is related to the concern that you might not be able to extract IQ samples very fast. Of course, depending on how many IQ samples you extract, that might become unfeasible in some cases. But what we did is, what can we do if we take, for example, the IQ samples and we extract them from the open front all? Can we guarantee that the app can perform spectrum sensing within the 10 millisecond range, which is what people refer to as real time? And actually, looking at the numbers, we have seen that in the worst case, we can guarantee spectrum sensing with the current architecture within 1 millisecond. So it's much faster than what it's actually needed. And most of actually the latency, I don't know if you can see it here, it's coming from the control creation. So this is basically, we have an AI model that sends the spectrum and tells you if there is interference and tells you where the interference is. So this model is actually the one that is generating the most latency. So you can even bring it down if you either quantize the model, compress the model, or make it smaller. There are different ways you can do that, but it kind of like still makes an inference decision in less than 1 millisecond. So of course, if you work with massive MIMO, probably you need to only extract a certain subset of the IQ samples, but you can still do this. And these are numbers from a 100 megahertz cell with 273 PRBs, where we constantly get all of the IQ samples from the open front all. This is exactly the use case that I just shown you. So we basically converted a base station into a spectrum sensor. What we do is from the dApp, we take the IQ samples from the open front all, we mirror them. So one goes through the usual 5G stack because we don't want to block communications. And then the other part goes into the dApp for spectrum sensing. In this case, we have an AI model. And what it does is getting IQ samples from the open front all, and you can see the spectrogram of how the IQ samples look like. And then we create a labeling map of what are the signals that are present in that spectrum. For example, here, what we're doing is cramming all of the different technologies in the same portion of spectrum, which is something that you usually not see in wild, but we just like started transmitting on the same band. You can see that each color represents a different standard and the model can run and the communication is still up and running. There is no loss of communication. Another use case where we use Isaac for enabling new applications is that of spectrum coexistence. For example, here, what we did is we took two cells, cell one and cell two, cell one 100 megahertz, cell two 20 megahertz, and we basically put them across the same band. So the cell one is larger, cell two is smaller, and lives within the same portion of the spectrum. And then we said, okay, what if we use a dApp for sensing the spectrum? and see what is happening. And then we have an XApp that looks at what is being sensed and then blocks one of the cells through PRB nulling so that the two cells can coexist and they can run on the same spectrum. And this is exactly what you will see here in this video. So this here is a spectrogram from the larger cell. This is the PRB allowance map, let's call it that way. Green means that the scheduler can allocate the PRB. If it's red, it means that the PRB cannot be used. And now what happens is that the we start the demo. This is just the same configuration that I just shown you. At some point, we take one smartphone for cell two. We turn it on. We start transmission. You can see the traffic from the user. And you see that the cell one has been blocked by the XApp because the DApps reported that there was something here. Then we activate another smartphone for cell one. We start traffic. And you won't see it here because it's sensing it's sensing basically what is happening in the uplink only on a sensing slot. So you don't see that there. But both smartphones are generating hyper traffic at the same time with the two cells being active at the same time. So there is no interference through that is actually causing one of the cell or the other to crash, but they're both up and running. And once we stop the second cell UE traffic, you see that the PRB goes back to green because there is no need to block because that cell is not generating traffic. And the two cells are still up and running. So there is control that is still running. The broadcasting is still there, but everything it doesn't crash because of the blocking. Another use case is that of sensing the physical world with DApps. This is a work actually from NVIDIA. That was using our architecture. You see here that the goal is basically we're doing monostatic sensing, and where we have a UE, then there is a radio unit, and then there is a person. The person doesn't have any smartphone. It's just walking around. And what you see here is that the DApp is being used for detecting where the person is located by using reflections and from signals that are coming from the UE. So basically, it's just like we are not giving any smartphone to the user, but it's just like walking around. And you see here a sped up version of where the estimated location is being, where the location for the user is estimated and the ground truth. So, and the order is fairly small. Another use case is that of a localization of the UE itself. So in the previous case, we were localizing a person by using another smartphone that was located somewhere else. In this case, instead, we are using DApps for localizing the UE itself. So the same concept, if the UE is moving, then you can basically look at the channel, you can perform estimation. And this is just a brief summary of the different use cases that you can account for. We have seen like UAV detection, spectrum sensing, human activity detection, but also environmental sensing, like sensing the weather, for example, if it's raining, if it's not raining, adapting, which can be useful for adapting communication strategy, even health and wellness monitoring. This is a fun one. Basically, people are using Isaac for detecting how fast a person is eating and recommend like to slow down in case they are eating too fast. Don't ask me who's using that, but it was like something funny that I saw and added there. And yeah, so thanks, everyone. This is just like a brief summary. I know that I have some minutes, but yes. The app's there, open source. You can use it if you want to get in contact with us. We are happy to get introduced to them to you. So thank you.
Great, Salvatore. I'm just wondering how to monetize this use case with slow eating.
Yeah, there is
I will think about that. I know. We have time for one question, if there is anything in the audience. Yes?
Mic check one. Yes, so you mentioned open source. Does that mean that there's no dependencies on CUDA? You could put an AMD GPU. Have you built something to replace PyAriel like PyRAN? Do you have open libraries? And then second question is, do you have the extension for a digital twin to build your AI ML models and bring it back into the DApp?
Yep. Very good question. So we have, so there is the open source version that we have released as Northeastern that is based on CPUs, so it doesn't need any GPU. The version that NVIDIA has released, it's actually embedded with the memory. So it's kind of like has CUDA functions to access the memory in real time because that's where the IQ samples are stored. So that one is GPU based, but it's using exactly the same architecture. So you can, if you have a D app that is using CPU or GPU, you can kind of like transition them easily from one another, technically without any software change, because the CUDA will only access if your D app is actually asking for a GPU. And the other question was related to the libraries. Yes, all of the libraries, was it the libraries? Oh, digital twin, yes. So for digital twinning, we have a version of the dApps that are running on, so I don't know if you're familiar with Colosseum, that is like an RF emulator that we have. It's also integrated with the Sciona digital twin framework from NVIDIA for channel emulators. You can use it with open air interface with RF sim. We have tested it with Ariosim from, for example, from Keysight. There are some efforts as well with Viavi. So as soon as you can emulate the Ario and emulate the IQ samples, and then you can just basically feed those through the emulated open front all and go to the D app.